The Playbook with Satyar Shah and John Jang on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
More than anything, I would have loved to have seen what Alphonso Davies can do with better players, especially when you're playing him up front instead of, and with respect to Kai Kamara and Teixeira and Jordi Reyna, I wanted to see, okay, can he build chemistry with some of the better players in this league, guys like Jovinko? Instead, you've got him on the back, plays 30 minutes of throwaway soccer, and you really do bungle the best opportunity to put him on display, because it wasn't just MLS fans watching from all their respective markets, but it was a Juventus team. Wasn't their starters, not their best players if possible, but Juventus is one of those brands and leagues and teams that everyone from all over the world gets interested in. So it was a wasted opportunity here from the MLS.
Let's bring in John Molinaro, Sportsnet's chief soccer reporter, into this conversation. John, always a pleasure getting you on the show. Thank you for joining us. What was your take on the way Alphonso Davies was featured in the All-Star game? Or are we maybe a bit too sensitive about this in Vancouver?
No, I'm with you. I didn't understand it either. I mean, I thought, that was the perfect showcase to unleash him a little bit and let him really sort of pursue his attacking instincts and, you know, see how he links up with, you know, some of the best players in the league. It really puzzled me. I mean, I can understand why Carl Robinson does it sometimes when he plays him back there, although I don't necessarily agree it, but, it's a lengthy season, so you can kind of get an idea of what he's doing. But, you know, in a one-off showcase game like this, it made very little sense to me. So I'm not sure what Tata Martino was doing. Maybe he had some sort of agreement with Robbo about that's how he would use him. But it really was a head scratcher from my point of view.
Yeah, I just think it's a missed opportunity from the MLS, right? I mean, this is the biggest star you've ever produced at this stage as a teenager. He's going for the biggest transfer to Bayern Munich. It's a perfect opportunity, and not to overrate him and overstate it, but why not feature him more, put him in a situation to shine, and you can benefit from this as a league long term. I mean, you can create the videos from this. I just think it was a missed opportunity for the MLS, because what if Alphonso Davies and the Whitecaps don't make the playoffs? You're not going to see Alphonso Davies on the big stage maybe again this season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if more than anything, I think the All-Star game, especially when they're playing against teams like Juventus, it's an opportunity to showcase the league and, you know, the top players and to create a little buzz. And, you know, I don't think they made the most of the opportunity, as you said it. Again, a bit of a head-scratching decision. I'm not sure what went into that, but it certainly felt like, they kind of let that one get away from them, where they really could have used it as an opportunity to, you know, to showcase what is, I think, rightly one of the best young players in the league.
John, the Whitecaps have said that with the record transfer fee in the Alphonso Davies deal, upwards of $20 million, of course, they've said they're going to invest most of that into player development. They'll try and find the right DP, maybe internationally, to bring in and invest a bit of the money into the roster. How do you view this? Is it really the right way to choose player development? I mean, on one side, you look and point to Alphonso Davies and saying, you know, look at this success story. He joined our program when he was 14 years old, and look what he's doing for us now and for Soccer Canada as a whole. And yet Whitecaps fans who have seen this team toil around, make some damage in the playoffs last year, they're still waiting on a real team and real excitement to get behind in this market.
Yeah, I'm kind of two ways of it. I mean, on the one hand, I can certainly understand that approach, because they're sort of thinking long term, and, you know, they want to sort of, you know, make the best use of the money, not just for the short term, but, you know, how will they best benefit from this, you know, over the longest period of time. So I get that. At the same time, and you guys, you know, being on the ground, you certainly know more better than I do. I don't have to tell you, but there seems to be this general, I don't know if it's malaise or what it is, but it's just sort of the fan base seems to be pretty disgruntled there. Mm-hmm. And I think they want to, you know, see an injection of excitement. And I think the belief from fans, whether right or wrong, is that, you know, ownership isn't willing to spend and really kind of go out and make this, you know, a top contending team in MLS. Certainly not spend close to near the levels that, you know, a team like, you know, TFC or Los Angeles FC or even the Sounders. So I think from that respect, they really have to sort of seriously consider about, you know, going out and making a marquee signing, whether it's a designated player or someone else, because, you know, my sense of it is that, you know, the fan base is growing increasingly frustrated, and that, you know, they're really in danger of, you know, supporters turning on them and this getting quite ugly, especially if they don't, you know, make it into the playoffs this year.
I think you're absolutely right on that. I mean, Vancouver Whitecaps fans have seen the three biggest rivals win the championships over the past number of years, whether that is Toronto with the Canadian rivalry or going Cascadia more locally in Seattle, Portland winning before that. It's been frustrating to be a Whitecaps team where you look at this market, this city, and you say, well, all the sports teams here are supposed to be leaders in their respective leagues in sport, but that's not what we're seeing here. But John, based on your knowledge of the infrastructure all across this country at all levels, do you believe Alphonso Davies will be flanked by the right amount of talent by the time 2026 rolls around? Not so much where we're looking at Canada to do any real significant damage in the World Cup, but enough of a decent performance where we can get behind and be proud of this team based on what they might be doing in the group stage.
I'm hopeful. I mean, I think, you know, there's no question that Canada historically has done, I would suggest, a poor job of developing players in this country. But I think change is afoot. You know, I think we've kind of recognized what those challenges are, and, you know, steps are being made by Canada Soccer and those involved in terms of, you know, being a little bit better in terms of identifying players first and foremost, and then, you know, sending them through the proper developmental sort of process, and not just players, coaches too. I think that's we've had a real issue with, you know, producing coaches at all levels in this country. So, you know, 8 years is a long time away, but I think, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, in that time that there'll be enough players produced within the Canadian system that you know, Davies will have a decent side around him. You know, and it's a great opportunity. I mean, you know, we talked about opportunities before with the All-Star game. I think, you know, the World Cup in 2026 is a great opportunity to really showcase the game in this country. And if, you know, Canada can put together even a semi-competitive team, then I think that will have, you know, massive long-term benefits for the sport in the country.
We're talking to John Molinaro, Sportsnet's chief soccer reporter here on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and John. And the EPL season is a week away. A week today,
crazy.
We get the EPL season starting off. We have Manchester United playing Leicester City. I mean, I can't believe how quickly this is coming in. And the other aspect about this, too, is, as you know, John, a lot of the players who played deep into the World Cup haven't joined all their clubs yet. So when you look at the World Cup here and how a lot of these teams, especially the top ones like United, Chelsea, City, Tottenham, they've had so many players away. Could we see a bit of a clunky start for some of these top teams to begin the EPL season?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think you raise a very good point. I mean, a lot of these players are, you know, coming off, you know, long runs in the World Cup, so they haven't necessarily joined their team for preseason. So, you know, and the fact that the Premier League just starts so early, I mean, you know, it's roughly about a month after the World Cup, whereas most leagues, you know, for instance, Spain and Germany and France and Italy, they won't start until, you know, at least a week later, so they have a little bit more time. So I think this really puts EPL teams under a crunch, you know, a bit of a squeeze. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see, you know, a few of them labor at the start of the year. And, you know, I think we see that anyway during a normal year.
Right.
There's always sort of middle of the table teams or teams that you expect to see in the bottom half of the table kind of overachieve a little bit. And they're, you know, in the top four mix. And, you know, teams like Manchester United and Chelsea are struggling. But I think in the end, it's always kind of things tend to even out. And the cream usually rises to the top. But, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that I'd be very surprised if we didn't see, you know, some of the big four struggle a little anyway early on in the campaign.
Yeah, we've seen some transfer activity so far, of course, but with the new rules in place in England, the transfer window ends before the season starts because the leagues got tired of going through the first month of the season, essentially, and all the turmoil and uncertainty around players. So do you expect a flurry of signings and moves here over the next week in the EPL?
Well, it's an interesting one because, I mean, you know, on the one hand, I would think yes, but I think, you know, the transfer sort of window is just so competitive. I mean, you know, German teams are in the mix and Italian teams have really kind of stepped up their game. I mean, you know, Inter Milan has made a host of signings and now there's talk about them going after Luka Modric, which would just be absolutely crazy. And AC Milan and Juventus pulled off like a major swap. You know, yesterday involving Gonzalo Higuain and Leonardo Bonucci. So, you know, under normal circumstances, I think, yeah, we might see a flurry of action from EPL teams, but you got to remember that, you know, the rest of Europe is still on the clock, and they're in the mix. So I think it's going to be very hard for EPL teams to kind of go out and make, you know, major marquee signing just with the competitiveness of the transfer market across the other leagues.
How are you sizing up the top five clubs? Of course, we know Manchester City, you have Tottenham, you have United, you have Chelsea, you have Arsenal. They are typically the top five clubs in the EPL. I guess City is the favorite, but how do you see those top five clubs shaking out right now?
Well, yeah, I think City is just sort of based on the season they had last year, and not really losing anybody in the offseason. I think they'd have to be considered one of the favorites. I'll be really interested to see how Man United does, because Jose Mourinho has spent most of the preseason moaning and complaining about team ownership not going out and signing enough players, and that just have to have a good enough squad to compete. One wonders if he's truthful about that, or he's just sort of playing gamesmanship and mind games. But that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And Chelsea, too. I mean, you mentioned about, Maurizio Sarri coming in. And I'll be looking on with great interest as to how he, can implement the sort of free-flowing attacking style that he used at Napoli, whether he can sort of do that with Chelsea. And who are they going to lose, if anyone? I mean, Courtois, Willian, and Hazard are three marquee players for them, three important starters. And if they lose one or even all three of them, then, that's a big blow for Chelsea. So I think all of these factors will sort of really play into what should be an interesting top five battle.
Chelsea's my co-host Sat's team right there. So he's smiling when you're talking about them anytime. And I think there are some question marks about the future of some of their players, but their midfield still looks so good.
Yeah,
I'm
always stressed out before the season starts. You never know how it's going to. You either win the EPL or you finish outside the top four. That's the way it goes.
John, before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on Mourinho. I mean, how long or short do you think his leash is now with Man U and facing a bit more pressure? And certainly we know that Man U, whenever a manager is in that position with that team and that brand, the pressure is always on. So how short do you think that leash is with Mourinho and his lifetime with Man U here?
I think it's somewhat short. I mean, I think he'll certainly have, barring a catastrophic beginning to the campaign, I think he'll see out the year. But, with regards to his future beyond this season, I think he's really got to produce, right? Because, Manchester United is, a global brand, some would argue the biggest club in the world. And, they're not accustomed to going seasons without major championships, not competing in Europe or at least going far in the Champions League, not, winning the FA Cup or not. Winning the Premier League. So yeah, I think this season could very well be kind of almost a referendum on him. And if he doesn't sort of produce the goods, then it wouldn't surprise me if Man United makes a change ahead of next year.
And I can't believe I missed Liverpool when I was talking. I got a few angry text messages. Where's Liverpool? You mentioned City, Chelsea, Tottenham, United, Arsenal, and Liverpool. If I had to guess, one of the clubs outside of City that has a good chance of winning, it actually would be Liverpool for me. I'm a Chelsea fan, but I think that Liverpool team and some of the moves they made this summer, I mean, especially with the way they play under Jurgen Klopp, would you be surprised if they really make another push again this year?
Could be. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I thought they were, they really kind of came on in the second half of the season last year. Yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to be a strong title contender. And if Mohamed Salah can duplicate anything close to what he did last year, then obviously, that's a boon for the Reds. I mean, we didn't really mention Tottenham either. Mm-hmm. I think, they're a solid side as well. Harry Kane coming off a pretty decent World Cup. And I think the team has really come into its own the last few seasons under Pochettino. So expecting big things from Spurs too. And I say that as an Arsenal fan.
Right.
So, I'm expecting, Tottenham to at least make a push this year.
Yeah, there isn't much love lost between London club fans, Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal. It's not much love lost, but we get along fine, John. It's all right. Hey, listen, John, always a pleasure getting you on the program here to talk some EPL and some MLS with Alphonso Davies. Enjoy the long weekend and we'll talk again soon.
Sportsnet 650.